You're listening to the Happy Workaholic Podcast. I'm your host, Kellyanne Gorman. This show was once about business, LinkedIn, and my life with an autoimmune disease. And then one day I found out I was misdiagnosed, so I had to switch things up a bit. Life is so short, and when you're given a second chance, you better believe I'm going to take it, celebrate it, and share it with you. I'm on a mission to help women take their business and life to that next level they deserve to be at. This show is intended to elevate your mind, upgrade your business, enhance your life, and become part of a positive and uplifting community. Inspiration, motivation, and determination are what got me to where I am today, and I cannot wait to share these amazing stories of other female entrepreneurs who will be featured on the show. If you have a story or brand you want to share, send me a message on Facebook and Instagram today. You can find me at The Happy Workaholic. I would love to connect with you. Do you want a live chat during this episode? Make sure you're listening on iHeartRadio. I'm here to remind you to work hard, stay humble, follow your dreams, and never, ever give up. Thanks for taking the time to subscribe to The Happy Workaholic Podcast. And now let's get into today's show. Are you sick of remembering what days you need to arrange a special gift for your loved one? Have you ever come home from a long day of work to find your partner a little huffy and puffy because you forgot flowers for their special day? Come on, be honest. We all know that is never going to end well. Listen, friends, I have just the answer to solve this problem and never let that happen again. Today's episode of the Happy Workaholic Podcast is brought to you by Love Day Reminders. It was created by a husband and wife team,
Jace and Trey Curry,
which I love, who excel in organization, customer service, and both enjoy putting smiles on the faces of others around them. It truly is such a unique service and one that any busy person should be taking advantage of. The Love Day Reminders process is simple and seamless, which is what we can all appreciate, right? Once you sign up, you will fill out a one-time form with all the special days for you and your honey. One of the coolest aspects of Love Day Reminders is that you decide when and how often reminders are sent to you. It is a system that will never let you forget to send those anniversary flowers, holiday gifts, birthday cards, etc. because you're going to receive a follow-up reminder. No alarm clock can do that. Love Day Reminders is perfect for the person that always needs that consistent follow-up, especially for those busy bees that just never stop. You know those friends, and you know that could also be you. Take advantage of this incredible service that has been designed so that everyone can enjoy special days, and stress-free ones at that. Never forget a big date again. For more information and to subscribe, visit lovedayreminders.com. And for all up-to-date information, make sure you're following them on Facebook and Instagram. Hey everyone, welcome back to a brand new episode of the Happy Workaholic Podcast. Today is Wednesday, so you know what that means. It's another episode for you for the I Chose This Life series. If you're not familiar with that is, I get to interview some pretty amazing female entrepreneurs. Their stories are so inspiring, and I get to share them with you. Today, I am interviewing Corey McFadden. I have been following Corey for probably 10 years now, I feel like, and she is such a smart, savvy business person, and I think that you guys need to hear her story. So I invited her on the show, and she is here with us today. Corey, hello.
Hello, hello. 10 years. Those are those statements that you're like, oh, I know. I'm in my late 30s.
I know. Can you give my listeners a little background on who you are and what you are doing?
Oh my goodness. Good question. I probably answer that a little bit differently depending on my mood every day because my life has changed so much in the last 6 months. I feel like, you know, for 15 years, I kind of had an elevator pitch answer to that question, which I think we'll kind of get into how I was living my life and
yes,
how it turned into an elevator pitch. But I am considered, I guess, the pioneer of luxury consignment. At 22, which would have been almost, you know, 15 years ago, I had an idea going to school for fashion design that I wanted to kind of redefine what consignment was known as. And being 22 and fearless and broke, I set off and built an amazing, awesome business reselling designer and luxury goods. And over a 15-year span, I sold about 1.5 million items online. I had a really fast and fun, cool life. I had a reality show on VH1. I had 45 employees at a time. And then about 6 months ago, I decided that I needed to change. And now I'm living in the mountains. And I am not working.
You're living your best life. That
I
is
am
how
living my best life. I am.
It's so crazy that I'm talking to you right now, because 10 years ago, I was living in San Diego, and now I'm back here, and your show aired on VH1, House of Consignment. I was watching it, and I had a Valentino bag that I was gifted, and I just didn't need it. It wasn't really my style, and I remember I messaged you on Facebook, and you answered me right away. You're like, okay, send me the info, and then I ended up getting stains on it, so that didn't work out, but that's how I first found out who you were, from your show, right?
Yeah.
Cut to 10 years. It's crazy. Now, 10 years later, I'm literally down the road from that same condo.
Oh my gosh, that's so crazy.
I know, it's so crazy. You know, the reason I wanted you on this show is because obviously your story is really inspiring, but there's so many women out there that have this idea. They create a vision and they just go for it, and then they have a successful and profitable business. It's not always the case, but they go for it and they follow their dream, and they just like made shit happen. And you're definitely one of those women, and it's so inspiring to see somebody that grows such a powerhouse like empire of especially selling luxury consignment. That was so rare then, and actually you were really the only one doing it, and so that's why I think your business just like became so immeasurable. Like, your success is just incredible.
Yeah, it was wild, you know. It's funny, when you're living success like that, a lot of times you aren't aware of it, because that's not why you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it because you're doing something that you love and you believe in, and you've built this team who also believes in what is your guys' vision becomes yours together, and it's so powerful and cool. And you know, when I set off to do this, I've always been an entrepreneur. I before the word. It's so funny, like, how we go through these, like, phases of words.
I know.
But, like, listen, growing up, like, you wanted to be a veterinarian, you wanted to be a doctor. Like, no one said I wanted to be an entrepreneur. You'd be like, an entre what? Like, it wasn't one of those key coin terms as it is now. And I look back at who I was growing up, and, like, that's who I was. Like, I was hustling Lisa Frank stickers at recess and making commission stickers. I was identifying, like, when they removed the vending machines, I worked out with the drill team to order candy and sell box candy on the school bus because they couldn't buy it in the lobby anymore. Like, I was always finding a niche that needed to be filled and filling it. And I didn't realize that's what I was, but that's who I am. That's my makeup. That's what's ingrained in me. And when it came time to graduate college, I was up late one night. I saw an infomercial for an eBay store. And I don't know if you guys remember, but it's hard to take yourself back 15 years because so much has changed in 15 years that we have not seen the growth in ever that we've seen because of the internet. And back in the day, it was like, you know, you only had retail. You couldn't hop online. You couldn't order things. Secondhand was like whatever was in your neighborhood. So it was whatever the taste was in your neighborhood is what would be in your local consignment store. And it was only really popular in large cities. It wasn't popular anywhere else. So it wasn't something that could be like wildly popular. And so suddenly I recognized that with eBay, it was like, okay, wait, you can reach people all over the world and you can bring this model everywhere. And I can get goods from other people. And my mind started working in this way. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to redefine consignment. And this is like, I literally have this vision in like this 15-minute period. And the next morning, I went to my program director and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to sell my collection for my final. I'm just going to write a business plan. And this is what I'm going to do. And she looked at me and she was like, that is the most ridiculous idea I've ever heard. And I looked at her and I was like, okay, fuck you. I'm going to use you as fuel. And guess what? I'm going to have my parents' attorney, which, listen, I'm from Kansas City, lower middle class. Let me just clarify that. There's no attorney on retainer. A family situation that has their internal legal. And I was like, my mom's attorney that she has through her corporate plan is going to write up a statement that you can't use my name as alumni. And she's like, okay, sure, whatever. So that's what we did. We drew up because I was so mad at her because she like didn't believe in me. And I was like, I was a good student, you know, like I thought I had a good idea, which I did.
And that's the exact opposite. Like, they're supposed to be there to motivate, like, believe in you.
It's a bad educator, unfortunately. Mm. And you know what I had learned from her is that she had never really worked in the industry. She had only ever been in education, and she didn't have real-world experience to match what she was preaching out of her book. So, unfortunately, those two, like, butted heads. And she willingly signed that little release, and they could never use my name as alumni. And it really hurt them locally because in Chicago, like, I mean, I had a moment. Like, I was young. I was doing something cool. I caught national attention. And it was pre-internet days, you know? You're talking back when, like, I used to have to convince people to put their credit card in online. My first website quote to get a website built, my first quote was $123,000 because it had an e-commerce component, okay? Like, things were so, so different. And so I was having to figure all these things out from a bootstrap perspective, and it was hard hustle, but I was so excited about it. And might add that when you do things you love, they don't start out the way that you, when you close your eyes and you see it, that's not what it's going to look like. Like, it's most likely going to look like a card table in your kitchen. It's not going to look like a glossy, like, Carrera, like, you know, showroom. and that's basically, like, I had bright green walls, and I sold fly fishing equipment and coins and electronics, and I sold whatever you would bring into my store so I could pay my rent, but I started to focus on people to get designer and luxury goods. That was my goal. And I knew that, like, no one was just going to drop off their Birkins. I had to meet those people. And I was 22 with no connections and school debt. And I might add that, like, I got my business off of an SBA loan and a line of credit. So I even added on more debt to my school debt. I didn't have, like, some secret pocket of cash to help me start my business, which also seems to be a new trend in this whole girl boss world. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, good for you. You got a business. And how did you get your funding? Oh, okay. Okay. And what's your game plan? Oh, no game plan. Okay. Yes. You rock it. But I made all those hard sacrifices that I don't think everyone has to make all those sacrifices. I think that's what's so beautiful is even now, like, having podcasts and these education resources where you can learn from others. If you find someone good that's willing to spit you truth, hold on tight because it is invaluable. A lot of the world is very glossy and will make things sound pretty. Like, look for those people that will give you the gloss but also give you the grit. And yeah, I pioneered a whole marketplace over 15 years. And I didn't even realize what I was doing when I was doing it. I just knew I was doing something that I loved. It was really, that was all it was about.
I love that you said that. It's so true. You don't realize what's happening until you just stop for a minute. Like, I built this.
And then when you step back, like, even, you know, like, fast forward, but when I was closing my store and I was, like, taking the press wall down, that press wall that, like, was a very expensive press wall. Lucite ghost press wall. But I would walk past it every day. And it, to me, it was an installation. I looked at it as an art install for the front of the store. That's what I built it to be. But I didn't realize what I had done on that wall. And when I was taking it down, I was like, oh my gosh, like, look at the title on this article, or like, look at this. Because a lot of times when it's happening, it's all happening so quick and you try to be present, but you don't realize the magnitude when you're kind of caught in that forward momentum. Because if you're there for the right reasons, you're all about your strategy and executing and your growth. And I wasn't caught up in the gloss of it. And everyone would be like, gosh, aren't you so proud? And I'm like, and I'd step back and be like, oh, yeah, wow. Because it just becomes, it's just who you are. I mean, it's every cell of your body when you're doing it right. And then when it comes not, then you have to start looking at, is this the right fit for me now?
I could definitely relate to that feeling on a different level, like more personal level, where a couple months ago, I was finally getting all of my belongings back from Vegas. And I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I traveled for years for work all over the world, So I worked on over 60 cruise ships and motor yachts and then got into private aviation. And my my belongings are unique items that I could not resist from my travels, but a majority is photo albums. And I started, I mean, I have hundreds, like probably 200 pounds worth of photo albums, because that's what we did back in my day. We took photos, went to CVS and developed them. And it was so emotional getting my stuff as it is. And then I started going through photos and I'm like, holy shit. Like, that was my life. Like, I fucking did a lot. And I'm like, no wonder why I'm tired.
Yeah. But like, you don't realize, you know, and like, it's wild. But yeah, now I'm really proud of, you know, what I built and what I did. And I look back at like the age when I was doing it and I'm like, holy cow. I mean, I was just so, and I still am, but just fearless. I mean, like, you could not freaking shake me. You could try, but it wasn't going to happen. And I remember the first person that walked in my store when I opened it. Mind you, I missed my college graduation to go to eBay Live in New Orleans because I needed to find some software.
Oh, my God.
I missed my college graduation to go to eBay conference. 2 months later, I opened up my retail store. I really didn't know what the hell I was doing. My mom painted the walls. I designed my own logo and clip art. It was all fine. It got me by. But I remember the first guy walked in. He's like, this is the stupidest business I've ever seen. You're going to fail. So first thing he said to me. And I was like, okay, thank you. And I just like nodded my head at him. Then
Watch me.
Fast forward 5.5 years, I built a new luxury retail 3,500 square foot space across town and was moving out of my first original space. And he walked in and he apologized to me and said that he was wrong.
Are you kidding?
I'll never forget that. And I was
holy
like,
shit. Oh my God.
It's a really good lesson though, because I think, you know, back then, like no social media existed. Life was a lot easier.
I know. So true.
But, you know, like people are really quick to make judgments. And in the social media world, which is equivalent to like, you know, like swiping through and making a quick judgment, and trolls leave comments. They don't think in their head, they think out loud. And trolls never come back, or they don't know how to come back. And so when a lot of people are, you know, you're feeling good, you've got that wind, you've got that momentum, and then someone comes in and just shits all over your parade. Like, don't let them shit on your parade is my point. Is who cares? Everyone has an opinion. And when you put yourself out there, whether it be a business or a service or on your social and blog, people are always going to be there to have an opinion. And like, I've been trolled really hard. When I had my reality show, I was trolled really, really hard afterwards. And like, it taught me a lot. And like, I just don't give a shit. That's all it comes down to. Like,
are you more like that now? Like, I know that you've always kind of been like that, but now you're so much stronger because you went through that.
Now, especially, like, I know what matters in life. Like, I am happy with, like, my family and my unit and, like, the way that I live and my moral compass and just how I see things. I'm happy with that. And I've worked hard and I'm very honest with myself, and I've worked to become a better person and a different person in different ways because we change. Mm-hmm. And that's important, is like, are you the same person you were in high school as you were in your 20s, as you were in your 30s? And if the answer is yes, then you need to take a freaking hard look at yourself, because something is wrong. Because no one should be the same. You should not be stagnant. You are literally like, you have to educate yourself constantly. And that doesn't mean in a school format. It means in whatever you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get better, change. Because what happens, and I feel like what we're seeing now and why so many friendships fail and divorces fail, is because we do have so many opportunities for growth available to us, and some people choose to take them and some people don't. And those that don't and those that do, because you start to grow apart. And so you have to make sure that like you and your family, especially your partner, you're on that same pattern together in whatever that is. It doesn't mean you have to be learning at the same rapid pace. It means that if one person is on a trajectory, that you're there and you're supporting them and you're aware of that and you're a unit. Like, it's about like working and becoming better, and not in like a cheesy ass way. It's just that, like, who wants to live their life the same? Like, there's nothing wrong with stagnancy in certain things, but like, do you really want to like make the same sandwich every single day? Like, wouldn't you like maybe want to like learn how to toast your bread? I don't know, just an idea, like change it up. So I'm in this like creative like path right now where I'm just trying to like be honest with myself and learn and be the best I can be for my daughter and be the best I can be for my partner. You know, like, my career was very big. It had a very big moment. And in that moment, like, my partner supported me in the second chair and like made sure I was good and was my support. And right now my partner is having a very big moment, and I'm there to support him and keep our family tight and do different things. And I think that's awesome when you can change in that way. But
that's
like,
so crazy how life works too.
It is, you know, when I was stuck, like, I mean, I ran my business for 15 years. So 15 years, you know, like, that's all I did. That was it. I did nothing else but work day in and day out. And I loved it for 12.
I love that you said earlier, like, my biggest pet peeve is if I get on the phone with somebody and they want to hire me for some reason, whether it's business, LinkedIn, podcasting, whatever the case may be. And
I tried to hire her before the show.
And I am just sitting there and they're all over the place. And I'm like, and I ask hard questions like, what's your time frame? What do you want to do? Like, why are you doing this? Like, do you want to make money? Is it a creative passion project? Like, you need to be ready for these questions I'm going to fire at you, and you need to have fucking answers. If you're all over the place, I literally can't work with you. It's just not going to work out. You need to be focused. You need to, if you have something that's been sitting on your plate, you can't just, life is too short, especially now, like everything I've gone through. I'm like, make it fucking happen. Today is the day. What are you going to do? Start today. Just start.
I think, you know, like you said, though, I think what the blur, there's been this blurred line. I think with all these shows like Shark Tank and The Profit, which I love all of them, I think they're all great. Mm-hmm. But we feel like now that because you have a hobby or something you're good at or you enjoy, that you have to turn it into a business. And that is not the case. And I think it's important that people know that. Mm-hmm. Is it doesn't have to be a business. Just because you make the best cupcake in your neighborhood doesn't mean you have to open a bakery. Just because you do a good job at reselling a couple of your friends' clothing on the side doesn't mean you have to open a business. Sometimes side hustles and hobbies are just a beautiful thing to have. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's no less pride in that. And you can keep it at that. And I think that we feel this social pressure that we have to move things into something bigger. And when you're doing something, people are constantly like, well, what's next? When's the next location? Or how many more people are you hiring? You don't always have to be making it something more. You can also just polish it so it's really freaking pretty in your life. And you don't have to be an entrepreneur. You can just be someone that is really freaking good at cross-stitching or painting and make some extra money. I think it's important to know that, because I think that a lot of people try to move people and then suddenly you're in a business and you're like, oh shit, I don't like this paperwork and I don't like the accounting and I don't know what this is and I have to manage people. Like,
and then you lose all of the passion that you had because it's just like one big stressful situation. When people, because I'm in the middle of a launch right now, a promo for a new podcasting program, and I've been getting, of course, like all these messages on Facebook and Instagram, and I finally did a Facebook Live about it, and I said, podcasts are not just an expansion of your brand. It can be something that you're passionate about. One of my clients I've had for over a year, her podcast is called Own Your Pretty Now. It's about her postpartum depression journey, because when she was going through, when she had postpartum depression, she had no resources. And so she had this fire in her gut, and she's like, I need to launch a podcast. Like, I need to figure this out. And she's a marketing professor. She has these other side hustles. Her podcast is strictly about giving information out into the world. These other women that are like dying for this information, like trying to breastfeed at like 3 a.m. And this is her passion. It has nothing to do with business.
Right.
Like, people don't realize, like, if you are just in love with something and it, like, lights you on fire and you can't stop journaling the shit out of it, like, just fucking do it. You don't need to make money.
Exactly. You don't have to make money. And you shouldn't be in it to make money.
Mm.
It should start out as something that, I mean, yes, certain things start out with VC backing and they're to make money, yes. But if it's just an individual thing that's sparking fire in your house, like, you're doing it because you love it and because you're so into it. And then the money just is a residual. It just comes. It really, like, from, if you're good at it, you create a niche. Like, it can't be your driver or you'll never get there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to give it what it needs. It's impossible. And you also have to know that, like, most businesses fail.
Mm-hmm.
And most businesses never make profit. Or most businesses require such a tremendous amount of sacrifice. No amount of money is worth it to some people. Some people don't have it. They don't have a thick enough skin. They don't have a strong enough stomach. They don't. That's just the truth. We're all cut differently. And what you have to know is that the later you get in life, obviously things change and progress. We like more expensive things. We like a way of living. We like our vacations. We like our almond butter. I don't know. But it's like, you know, as that happens, it becomes harder to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So as you have a child, suddenly you have their education and their well-being and things. And so you have to know that the further you get along, it doesn't mean you can't do it. It just has to, you have to know, am I willing to sacrifice this? So you need to sit down and make a list and take everything glossy in your life, all of it, and say, am I willing to dump this column? Can I do that? And if your answer is yes, I love it so fucking much and I believe in it, then you jump in and you go get it. But if you're like, I don't think I can live without the car wash monthly subscription. Who's going to wash the car? You're going to wash your car, girl. That's who's going to wash your car. And, like, your vacations, they're going to be to the Wisconsin Dells. It's going to be a 3-hour drive. And, like, you got to be willing to readjust that. And if the answer is no, then keep it at a hobby. Because
exactly.
You're gonna lose your happiness, you're gonna lose your life, you're gonna lose your partner. Like, is it worth it? Like, you know, and it's a family thing too. If you have a partner, like, you gotta have their support, you know. And I'm not gonna get in the conversation, like, if they're not supporting you, like, they need to do reevaluate your relationship.
Yeah.
I do that whole thing. Like, but it's a family sacrifice. It's everyone. It's long hours, it's certain things that can't, you know, happen. Like, everyone's gotta be on the same page. Because just like any business, like, a relationship is a business as well. And if you're trying to do it and you don't have their support and they're not helping you, then it's going to start taking a strain there. And it's just a big mess. So it's cool to have a really beautiful hobby. It's okay.
What do you think your biggest motivator has been that has helped you to get to where you are right now?
It's been different things at different phases. It started off with the motivation of, in my gut, I knew this was something big. I just knew it. I felt it. It was it. Then my program director pissed me off and became like, I was going to prove her wrong. So she became like my motivation. Then I met Spiro about 3 years into my business, and he was such an amazing support, and he helped me see things bigger. So he helped me dream in ways that I didn't know were going to be possible. And he helped me. I redesigned and rebranded 5 years in and made it into a luxury brand. And he helped me build that space together. Then my motivator became my staff, because my staff began to grow. And I had all these livelihoods looking to me as their leader. And so that really became like my fuel. Then I had Zelda. And when I had Zelda, that gave me a whole different reason for living. And that gave me a whole different outlook on running my company. And after about a year of being a mom, I really wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And I didn't want to miss those years. And I wanted to volunteer in the cafeteria. And I want to clean my own house. And, like, I wanted to do all that. And so with that, I started to just kind of think that, you know what, this brand might not be me forever. I might not turn into the old consignment lady in Chicago. You know, maybe maybe I need to do something different. And it sparked a different way of thinking in me for the first time ever in my professional career, because since I graduated, the only thing I knew was a drop off, and that was me. I could never imagine myself doing something different. And then I did, and then the opportunity arose, not in a time that many would see as an opportunity, but it kind of timed that way. We suffered a really detrimental flood back in May. Our neighbor above, who, my God, she is special. You're listening to this.
You're special.
You who hasn't grown since high school, you need to take a hard look at yourself and work on yourself, my dear. And please go get your hair colored professionally because it's brassy. Sorry, I had to say it. I always wanted to say it. I guess but she, their hot water heater exploded in the middle of the night. She let it run for about 5.5 hours. Genius.
Oh, my God.
All the water spewed down into my 3,000 square foot luxury space. I came in to up to 8 inches of standing water in certain spaces, and we lost everything. The entire space had to be gutted to the studs. So they gave us 2 weeks to get out. We lost all our electronics. The only thing we didn't lose was our merchandise because, I'm a genius. And we built an inset stock room. So if we did ever have an issue from above, it would be inset into the wall, as well as we stored everything in plastic bins because we had a water main burst about 4 years before. And we learned that if things that are in bins, they don't get damaged. Mm-hmm. So we didn't use any consigner merchandise. We just lost our space, which was the ideal situation because our clients weren't affected. Mm-hmm. It was just us that had to deal with it. So, I took that as an opportunity. Once I learned the magnitude of what had been, we had to move into a temporary location. So I had to find a temporary location, get everything temporarily set up in 14 days. We're talking internet ran, 30 computers brought in, a photo studio set up. I mean, intense. We got into the temporary location, and then we realized we were going to be displaced for 6 to 9 months. So with that, I knew I had to rebuild the space, and keeping the morale of your staff up when you're displaced and you're working in a space that's not normally yours on card tables is really hard. And I said, you know what? I've been doing this for 15 years. It's been an amazing run. I've loved it. It's awesome. But I'd like to do something different. Like, I don't have to rebuild. And I made the decision to close my business. People were shocked. They couldn't believe it. And
you didn't tell anyone. You put it out in a blog post, I remember.
I did. My staff knew, so I was very honest with my staff, very honest. Once I figured out that, like, what the magnitude was, the damage, I told them, you know, we weren't going to reopen. They all were given separation packages, and they were all given adequate time to get new jobs. So I didn't leave anybody high and dry. I took care of everyone, which was the most important thing to me because they were there for me, and mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't their fault. And then, you know, people were surprised that I didn't sell. For me, it was just right. And I didn't have another company that I could turn my consigners over to confidently. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do that. That's a lot. It's a lot of risk too. I didn't want people coming back to me. They weren't happy. I didn't know. And I hadn't been using other consignment services. So for me, it wasn't a financial decision. This wasn't about money. This was about me being able to live the life I was wanting to live alongside of my daughter, being able to support my husband, and just kind of go on a creative sabbatical and just reset myself. You know, I started this at 22 years old. I went to school for fashion design. I took 21 hours a quarter full-time and worked at the Merchandise Mart. I missed my college graduation, started my business 2 months later, and I worked for 15 years solid, hardly ever taking a break. I take a vacation here and there, but never being off, ever. I had never been off. I didn't know what it was. And my brain was fried. Like, I needed to just step back. And I also needed to realize that I wasn't my business. I'm so much more. Like, I've learned so much. I can help so many people. I can go build something else. And I can be a mom. More than anything, I didn't want to miss those years with Zelda. That's the most important thing to me right now. And I think that women are so torn because we feel like we have to be it all. We have to work. We have to be moms. We have to, and you're so freaking stressed and strained, and we have to do that. And there's times, yes, a lot of us have to do both, and that is fine. But like, if you don't, like, and you're like, God, I'd like to step back, but what will people think? Who gives a fuck? Why do you care what people think? Like, it's what works for you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what people think about me. I don't care how you view me. No, whatever. I do. I mean, I care within a certain sense, but it was so confusing to people. They're like, oh my God, you run this business and you do this and you're going to just be a mom. And it's like, now I'm going to be a lot more than it's just not just a mom. Like, I'm also going to like provide the glory to that title that it deserves and like shine some light on what it is to be a mom and be at home and take care of the house. And it's a lot. Like, people don't realize, and I didn't realize I was guilty. I would pass judgment on my nanny because I'd come home and there'd be toys everywhere because they were at the park. And I'm like, why didn't she clean up before they left? Well, you know why she didn't clean up? Because she's going to tear all that shit out as soon as she gets back home. And why would she have picked it up before? That's stupid. Like, so a lot of things that I passed judgment on and didn't understand, now I'm starting to understand, which has been really nice to be able to straddle those two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay, you know, like, and it's okay to step down, and it's okay not to go back to work if your family can afford to do so. Like, you don't have to do it all. You have to do what you have to do for you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to do it for anyone else. And I think we're all caught up in this social world of living for others, you know?
I just feel like, I think I mentioned this to you before we started recording, that the show I uploaded this morning, it's called Do You Boo, and I never, like, I just got into this mindset this week where I don't care. Like, I'm going to tell you, like, everything, like, I don't hold anything back. Like, my life is on the internet. I've never held back, but I've never really found, like, I've always had my voice, but I don't know. Something triggered this week. I don't know if it was the time change, Mercury retrograde or something.
Wow. Mercury retrograde.
For sure, right? And I'm just like, I don't care what you think of me. I don't care what I look like. I'm going on this live, and I'm going to share with you, like, how I'm feeling, what's going on in my life, what's going on in my business. And I don't care. Don't watch. Like, I just never really, I don't know, something just happened to me this week where I'm like, I don't care.
I think, you know, it's different levels of growth. Like, you know, it's, you become more and more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard, like, you know, there's certain things that, like, I know that I'm just not ready to talk about yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk about it in time when it comes to, like, my business or struggles or stories. And, you know, and there'll be certain days where I'll wake up and I'll be like, I'm going to share this today. Like, mm-hmm. Today feels right. Like, literally the stars have aligned. Like, this is the right energy. And I think, you know, a lot of it is energy, and a lot of it is, you know, growth and who you're surrounded by and how you feel empowered. And you know, we go through different chapters. And I think that's what's important to recognize, especially when you're an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are an entrepreneur, you get so caught up and so wrapped up and you live it. But we change, and it's okay to change. And my biggest piece of advice is that if you have a business that you've built, and let's say you're still self-funded and things are so good that you could never imagine yourself doing anything else, and growth is crazy, and like, it's not slowing down in the foreseeable future, sell your business, get the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. That's the time you go. And no one's going to tell you that, because things are so good. And if they do, and you're like, what are you talking about? You're right. Get out then. Because unless you want to do it forever and you want to go through the cycles that come after that whole upwards comes down,
mm-hmm.
just exit. Because entrepreneurs are innovators too. You come up with new things. Take that money and go do something else. Keep it going. Like, keep building. Keep growing yourself. Because a lot of times it becomes really easy to get caught up in it, and it becomes a safety net. You don't want it to become that.
Now, I know you've mentioned Zelda a couple times, your gorgeous daughter. What is Glitter and Bubbles all about, and what was the inspiration behind it? Because I know that that is your project right now.
Yes. So I started Glitter and Bubbles when Zelda was born. Before she was born, I had a blog under my own name, CoreyMcFadden.com. And I mostly used it just for, I was on TV weekly. So I would use it as my landing page, whether I was running a contest or for content to live for brands. I never really fully dove into the quote-unquote blogger world. I should have. At that time, I stacked my followers. So I got many. No, I'm joking. So I always kind of had presence on the web. Then when Zelda was born, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start a blog and stop that. It's Corey McFadden, and I'm going to start something that's her and I together, so it can become our outlet that we do together. So if I do a collaboration, we do it together, and it becomes a place that she's also making money, and she has no idea. And so I built that blog, and it's a modern, kind of like a modern mom, but basically it's really kind of, it's turned into like a reflection of our family. And so it's just whatever we're doing. I'm not like a highly paid influencer, so everything is coming from a very authentic perspective and just my personal like knowledge of wealth of knowledge that I feel as though I have in certain categories, mm-hmm. To help people. I like to help people. I like to think that the way I live, I have learned a lot, over the last, 20 years. And I want to help people with what I've learned. And so it's just that, and it's fun, and it's grown tremendously. And now it's really kind of evolved into its own beast. So I'm building a new blog right now that's coming out at the top of spring. It's really going to be a reflection of everything of us as a whole, as a family. Zelda's the coolest kid in the world. I mean, she's a very special child.
She is so adorable. And quite the personality. So
cool, like, she's the cutest girl in the world. Her style is insane. It's her own style. She is so kind. She's so loving. She's so empathetic. She's like everything that, like, you want to see in the world. And so, like, I look at her as just like, I just incubate her, and I am trying to teach her from everything I've learned and trying to make her just a pillar of awesome kindness and teaching people that it's okay to parent differently. You know, like, we don't go by the book. Like, it's not our thing. We parent by, like, what feels right, what works for us, and happiness. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all I care about. So I can't be, and not in a spoiled way, in, like, a genuine way. And I don't read a lot of shit. It's just not my thing. And so I just kind of, like, regurgitate, like, who I am. And, yeah, Zelda has her own Instagram, Glitter and Bubbles. I know people, like, oh, my God. It's a very controversial topic. And it's totally fine, and I get it. It is one that, like, I monitor everything. So I monitor who follows us. Yes, I'm putting my child out there, but I like to think in a very respectful way. It's something that we do together. She's excited to take her pictures. She's excited to see them. But I'm trying to teach her. She doesn't know what the hell social media is, and she won't for a very long time. But guess what she will know? When she graduates and she has paid for her college education, and mama didn't have to bribe her ass into a college.
Oh, my God. Seriously.
She paid for it on her own, doing something that she enjoyed. I'd be pretty freaking happy, you know? Like, I'd be like, okay, mom, you did this right. Thank you. And so I try to do things from a right way, and she loves doing the shoots. Like, she loves them. And so she's doing something she enjoys. She gets paid for playing with toys that she'd be playing with anyways. And I'm in control. And yeah, I love it. Like, it's really become something very fun for us. And we've built this community, and seeing her influence others in a positive way, and these videos that parents send me, it's really cool.
That's so awesome. I love hearing stories like that. I want to talk about, we both have businesses that, we pride ourselves on providing the best service. And sometimes that doesn't always happen. So if you guys don't follow Corey on Instagram, her link will be in the show notes. But I want to talk to you about two companies. Well, I think maybe there's a couple. You knew this was coming. I want to talk to you guys, to you about the Postal Service and also CrackGate. So yes. For those of you listening, you need to check out these highlights for you to understand the backstory of what CrackGate is. But can you give us an update on where you are in that? And I think you have a new postman, so that's wonderful. But I need you to talk to us about these two topics, because they're very hot topics, especially on your Instagram.
I moved to Aspen and just shook things up.
Okay, so, you seriously did.
So wild. Okay, so we moved here in October. Obviously, you move into a new house, you order a ton of stuff, especially when you live in an area that you have to order everything. You don't have those stores. So I have gotten more packages than like one could ever imagine, right? So everything's cool. I've literally gotten 100 packages, nothing special or unordered in any of them. And then, like, I don't even know, I have to look at my stories, but a month and a half ago, whenever it was, I get a Pottery Barn and a West Elm package in the same day. One is a wall hanging, and the other is a tray, like a little tray, you know, you put on a counter. So I open up over the tray, and you pull the tray out of the box, and all the packaging falls out, and out falls a white vial. And at first, I thought it was one of those vials, you know, that just takes moisture out of the packages. But then, as like I looked at it, I'm like, wait, hold on. Like, there is no markings on this. The top screws off. Like, there's just loose white crackish powder. Like, this is not like this. Whoa. Someone's freaking crack fell in my package. And I'm like, this is crazy. So I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh my God, what if it has fentanyl in it? Like, I'm not going to be like a national story that dies from fentanyl being shipped to them. So I like, put it in a baggie and I'm like sitting there and I'm like looking at this. I'm like, this shit is crazy. And then we open that next box, and inside is like this wall hanging, and it's long. And in the end of the box is a crinkled up package of old tobacco from like Taiwan or somewhere. And I'm like, is this like a joke? Like, there's old tobacco in this package, and there's a white vial of powder in this package. Like, what is actually happening? And they're both by like the sister-owned company, Williams-Sonoma. So I'm like, this is nuts. So then I go upstairs. I'm like looking at this white vial, and it's like just staring me back. And I'm like, should I put this on my stories? I'm gonna ask people. Maybe they'll know. Maybe I'm crazy. Because you know, you start to like think, like you're like, no one shipped me drugs. And then I put it on there, and everyone's like, this is something. This is crack. This is heroin. And I'm like, oh my God. So I see West Elm, they start watching my stories, but they're not commenting, right? And I'm like, so then it starts to like get a little agitated because I'm like, well, they should say something to me. So then I like take a screen grab of them watching my stories and I like circle them in red. And I'm like, hey, West Elm, I see you. And then their customer service reached out to me. And at first, you know, I'm sure they thought I was like a crackhead myself. They're like, oh yeah, I'm sure you got crinkled up tobacco in a box and a white vial in the other. And you know, I talked to her. I'm like, listen, like I'm a professional. You can Google me. Like, I'm telling you, like, I'm not in it for anything. Like, something's wrong here with your distribution warehouse. So start to go through it. And then they had me call the police. So the police came over, which was like the best. You have to watch my highlights, because when the police come and then he calls in the drug call, it literally could be like the opening to a Snoop Dogg song. It's so good.
It's so good. I showed one of my friends, I think I messaged you about this, because she orders from West Elm all the time. I'm like, I have to show you Crackgate. She's like, what are you talking about?
It was so good. So I surrendered it, and they can only test at the station for cocaine, because, you know, people only do cocaine in Aspen, apparently.
only in Aspen.
It's like bringing sand to Egypt here.
Yeah.
So they tested for cocaine, which it's not, but that doesn't rule out heroin, meth, and every other white powder substance as it appeared to be. And they agreed that it appeared to be like someone's personal stash of a controlled substance. Most likely what happened is like a warehouse worker like leaned over and it fell out of like his or her shirt pocket. So I said, well, just like look for whoever destroyed your warehouse a couple weeks ago, because that's, I mean, at lunchtime when their powder was missing, I'm sure everyone knew.
Seriously.
They had to send it to the Denver crime lab, and it's still there because it's a state-run crime lab. So we're waiting for testing. So I still don't know what it is. So I get emailed every day for updates. So as soon as I know, I'll let you know. But I will say, they did make good. You know, as I said to them, like, I wasn't looking for anything. I wasn't looking for a settlement or anything. Obviously, like, no one was hurt, thank God. Mm-hmm. Thank God my dog didn't get it. My daughter didn't get it. Like, it could have – I don't want to be on the other end of that story.
Mm-hmm.
But I did tell them, you know, like, obviously a significant amount of time has been invested at this point and, like, make good. And so they're like, well, how do you want us to make good? And I was like, the Comer House – Ronald McDonald run Comer House in Chicago. They, during the vortex last month, they had a water main burst. And I was like, they need help. I'm sure you have samples or furniture. So they contacted the Comer House and gave them a $3,000 credit to redo one of the rooms that was flooded. So that was really nice. And we,
that's so nice.
Yeah, so we made that out of that situation. And then my postal worker, I mean, come on. We all know the post office is like a fucking disaster. There is actually, when it comes to running businesses, there is no excuse for it whatsoever. Like, that, if I was president, they would be getting a whole little overhaul.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to fund your wall, then why don't you fix the fucking post office? Because they run a deficit, they lose money, and they make everyone's life, well, a disaster for the mm-hmm. most part. Not all of them. But, I mean, it's just, it's pathetic. So our passive-aggressive postal carrier was building towers in the snow out of our packages for a while, and, like, putting the Grinch box on top from the Amazon.
Oh, my God.
And, he was kicking back all of our packages and not delivering them from Amazon. It was really wild. We filed a complaint with the local office, and then the front counter thought it would be funny to make fun of him and give him the complaint, to which he showed up at our house at 8 a.m. with the complaint and had a altercation with my husband, not physical, only verbal, and told us that he didn't work for Jeff fucking Bezos, and so he wasn't going to deliver Amazon packages.
Oh my God. I think I tagged you on Instagram. I can't remember, but I went to, because I always saw the postal service drama on your stories, right? So I went to the post office before I moved to Mexico for a little bit, like literally a few days. It's all I lasted. But I was missing my passport and my birth certificate. I'm 40. So it was the original. It was lost in the mail. It was in Vegas at my old house, and my roommate had sent it to me, and it was lost. And I asked my, the woman that was delivering our mail, like, every day, like, in tears, like, this is, like, going to postpone my Mexico trip for way too long. These are original documents. Like, I need to have these in hand. She went above and beyond and found them, searched in the post office, found them, and delivered it like at 3, where she always came at 9. I could not believe it. I was floored. I went to this tiny little post office in this quaint, you know, sophisticated little town, and I wanted to let her manager know, like, she needed a raise. This is what she did for me. She did not want to hear it. So this is like the opposite story. Like, she went above and beyond. I'm like, you saved my ass. Thank you so much. I bought her a Starbucks gift card. I was like, I've been so stressed out about this. I go in to tell her boss, and she wanted no part of it.
Yeah, that's usually how they, that seems to be the structure of how they work.
I'm like, what?
It's wild. But I think, you know, it goes back to, like, you know, it's like, what is this environment these individuals are working in?
Exactly.
Like, where is the leadership? And, like, it's also reflective of, like, if you own your own business and you have someone that you know is negative, you know is a virus, they have to go immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot make excuses for those people. You cannot become comfortable or scared. You have to let it go, because it will plague your entire staff so quickly and strip the morale that you have built out, and you will be screwed. And I think a lot of times people think it'll go away. It only grows and festers, and those people spread. And so, like, don't let your business become the post office. That would be my message.
Seriously. Oh my God. Now, to wrap things up, obviously this is the I Chose This Life series, so I have to ask you this very important question that I ask all of my guests. When did you have your I Chose This Life moment? When was the day that you either woke up and you're like, oh my God, this is why I chose this life? Was it the first day you woke up in Aspen? Was it any other scenario?
You know, it's funny. It was actually just a couple of weeks ago. I actually have a blog, coincidentally. I have a blog post up on it right now. It was a couple of weeks ago. Through Zelda's Valentine's birthday, or Valentine's birthday, what am I telling? I threw Zelda's Valentine's party for her class. And it's something I'd always wanted to do. I wanted to be this classroom mom. And I love throwing parties also. and so.
They love having you in Aspen, let me just tell you.
I volunteered, and the teacher was like, really? She's like, absolutely. So I put together this perfect party for them. And then Zelda came home with this hand-drawn card that all of the kids had signed. And it was like literally in that moment of that card and like my name on it and all their signatures that I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm living it. Like this is the moment that I've been craving since Zelda was born, was to do this, and I'm actually doing it. Like we're living here where we wanted to live, we're settled, like we're happy, and I threw a party in a classroom. Like you're doing it, Corey. And I write about that in that moment of like how profound it was, and like through something so simple, and how it really comes back to when you live things really big too, you start to find yourself just craving the simple things.
I love that. And I'm definitely going to link that blog post in the show notes for you guys listening so that you can go check it out. And where can everybody, I know you have a lot of projects in the works, so where can everybody find you online so they can stay up to date with everything that you have going on?
Yeah, so my blog is glitterandbubbles.com. You can also find me through the same Instagram handle, Glitter and Bubbles, that will link you to my beautiful daughter, Zelda. And then I am Corey McFadden. It's Corey with an I, C-O-R-R-I. My mom was so smart. I was going to be Corey if I was a boy or a girl, and she was too lazy to change the spelling. So that's why I got my unique spelling, which actually worked out so beautifully, and I love it. So thanks, Mom. But I'm just Corey McFadden. So if you Google me, you find all kinds of stuff. You can read about some poor glass door reviews that have been written on me. A couple of my old employees didn't like the spray tan color that I used. You know, those are basic. So you can read about some of that.
Oh, my God.
Good, too. There's a little bit of everything because that's what happens when you put yourself out there. So,
of course. Corey, thank you so much for your time. You guys listening, Corey and I have actually been talking for almost 2 hours. Like, we could talk all day.
Forever.
I know. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And you guys, check out everything that's going to be in the show notes. Give Corey a follow. Check out her blog post that's going to be there. And stay tuned for everything that she has coming out soon. And thanks again for listening. I'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. If you liked this episode, please share it with someone who you feel needs to hear this message. And don't forget to tag me at The Happy Workaholic on Facebook and Instagram so I can feature you on my stories. And if you have 2 minutes and listening on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, I would love it if you could leave me a review. Those messages mean so much to us podcasters, and they really help me create more of the content that you'll love. Want to continue today's conversation? It's simple. Head to Facebook and search for the Happy Workaholic Network Facebook group. Answer the questions and you're in. For more information on myself, coaching programs, weekly newsletter, and more, visit thehappyworkaholic.com. The Happy Workaholic Podcast is part of the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Be sure to follow the Happy Workaholic Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. I hope that your day continues to be happy, healthy, positive, and productive, and I'll talk to you again soon.